staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue we're speaking of today is the storm is coming. Yes, we understand there's a major weather front that's going to turn into a Category 3 hurricane by the time it hits the shores in the Big Bend area and southeast over on the west coast, that is, of the state of Florida, the bottom portion of the 48 states called America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be devastating to some. It's going to cause floods, winds, damages, even in our part of the state. But listen, as dangerous as that is, as devastating as that can be, it's nothing compared, ladies and gentlemen, literally minuscule in comparison to the storm that's on the horizon that will be dealt with on November the 5th. We've got about 35, 40 days before that takes place. The question is, what kind of America will we have? We can always talk about after a major storm, what kind of nation, what kind of city, what kind of state will we have? But most of that is viewed to be something that's temporary, that we can rebuild, it can be changed, put back in place. But ladies and gentlemen, it is my most humble opinion that the storm that's on the horizon called the election of 2024, it is my most humble opinion that lest we make a cast a right ballot, America cannot be put back together. It cannot be brought back to survivability. It cannot be brought back to the constitutional republic that we have at this very moment. So it's a very, very, very ominous sound when we talk about the destiny of America, and that destiny is absolutely ironclad, cast without any change after November the 5th. You would say, well, after November 5th, well, I should have voted. I would have voted. I could have voted. I just didn't. Don't let that be the mantra afterwards. In 2020, you might recall me saying many, many times on this broadcast, and 2020, the election, 40 million Christians did not vote, sat on their hands, and been complaining the past 4 years about the persecution, the prosecution, about the loss of jobs, the loss of the economy, loss of military power, the loss of a sovereignty of a nation, et cetera, et cetera. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, it can be resolved in our hands if we handle the upcoming election just as we're handling the oncoming hurricane coming on shore. There needs to be planning, the preparation, and the praying and asking God to divinely intervene. Our choice at the election polls, ladies and gentlemen, will define and determine the future of America. Our choice at the election, at the November the 5th election, will determine if we have a Second Amendment. It will determine whether or not we have the religious liberties and the freedom of speech. It will determine whether or not we have a survivable nation as a sovereign nation. These things are in the weighing in the balance today for our decision at the polls. I believe we have Brother Harper on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Brother Youngblood, you hit the thing right dead on the head. You almost stole my thunder. this physical storm that's coming in off the coast right now, that's just going to be like Florida, maybe Georgia, Tennessee, maybe South Carolina, something like that. This is a physical storm. that spiritual storm is going to affect the whole United States, not just us as a nation, but the whole world. You can't emphasize enough how important it is for us as Christians to vote and win this election this November.
Absolutely. It's without any question, Brother Harper, that if we as Christians sit on our hands and do not vote, we've lost America. If we vote and we vote based on accepting, believing, embracing the lies of communist comrade Harris, and she really is. You go back, and this is not just simply hypothetical, rhetorical statements. She's really a socialist Marxist communist. Go back and study her background, study her beliefs, study her philosophies. And remember, in any of the conversations she's had, she said, basically, my philosophy has not changed. My thoughts have not changed. Yet she's saying this, this, and this. But underlying that, she's not changed. She's still the same communist Kamala that she's always been. And a vote for Comrade Harris is a vote to destroy America's morals, ethics, values, and freedoms. So the question simply is this. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your opinion or philosophy on it. What should our listeners think or do? We're planning now for a storm. Many people are boarding up. Many people are getting extra water. Many people are putting sandbags out. Many people are doing all of these things which are well and good for a physical weather storm. What should people be doing now in relationship to the preservation of life and the future of America?
Just don't go into the polls and just pick somebody random. Know who you're going to vote for before you make that decision. And this is sort of a reflection of history repeating itself again in our time. God raised up evil kings and leaders to bring his people back into submission. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's happening now. We've got some leaders that want to be and some that have been that have been trying to get God's people to turn around and come back to him. And we've been very defiant. We are rebellious people, stiff-necked, as he referred to some of his people a long time ago. History is maybe not repeating itself, but it sure is a good reflection.
It absolutely is. And one of the things that I am frankly concerned about, and I've got a whole sheaf of articles before me today, and that's about the safety and the preservation of the life of Donald Trump. I understand, and it's been publicized on some of the networks, that five other attempts of assassination that's not been brought to the public. And now with the revelation of the recent investigation of the House and its report, 100-some-odd page report, about what took place at Butler, Pennsylvania, and the attempted assassination there. And then the attempted assassination at his golf course in Mar-a-Lago and West Palm Beach. What are your thoughts? Do you think that in somehow, some way, is it possible that the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, DHS, and Secret Service had a hand in that? Or are these things just hypothetically accidental or coincidental? What are your thoughts on that?
I appreciate you bringing that again to my attention, because the other day I was going to call in and I didn't get a chance. And this is just something to think about. How close was that vicinity to the highway behind the golf course there where this intended, supposedly, assassinate was hiding? And do you just think by possibly that those might not have been live rounds in that warning shot to get him out of there? I am very skeptical. I hope our governor goes in there and really does a thorough private investigation of that and find out just what's going on. It's just too many unanswered questions for my little mind to put all of it together.
Well, brother, I'm just as questioning in my mind as you are. My question really is, because it was about 500 yards from the so-called sharpshooter for the Secret Service that fired four rounds toward the would-be assassin, and yet it's claimed that that sharpshooter, 500 yards away, saw the barrel of an AK-47 sticking out of the green, the shrubbery, and was able to fire four rounds, but didn't hit anything. But yet it's supposed to be a sharpshooter for the Secret Service. That's the ominous sound of it.
I was thinking, was that gun damaged any? Was any of the packs damaged? What about the surrounding limbs? When we target practice, sometimes the tree and the bushes get tore up pretty good. Was there any indications of stuff being destroyed? I'm just wondering if those were live rounds that were being shot.
But there's a high probability that they were not. Secondly, if they were, they were a horrible, horrible shot and ought not to be on the, how would you say, the Marxist team, the marksman team, I should call it, for the Secret Service trying to protect Donald Trump. But I'm looking at a headline. Trump's assassin suspect wrote chilling letter months before a golf course plot. He says, "I failed." I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs of this and get your response. The Justice Department released a chilling letter written by the would-be Trump assassin on Monday. The DOJ obtained the letter from the witness who says they received it inside a box delivered to them by the shooter several months prior to the assassination attempt. Authorities say the witness opened the box only after hearing of the shooter was suspected in the attack. The box contained several handwritten letters as well as ammunition. Among other things, one of the letters addressed to the world discussed the assassination attempt. This was an assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump, but I failed. I tried my best and gave it all the gumption I could. It is up to you now to finish the job, and I will offer $150,000 whomever can complete the job. The book also discussed a Trump assassination, this time encouraging Iran to carry out the assassination. And in his letter in that box, supposedly was left months before he attempted to shoot Trump, he was offering $150,000. Where'd the money come from? Did he have the money? Was it just bluster and boastering of something? How did he travel from Hawaii to North Carolina and back to South Florida? Where'd the money come from? Who bought the gas? Why was it that he had a vehicle with two or three different license plates? Why was it he had two or three different identifications? How is it that he had a weapon? Who bought the ammo? I could go on and on and on with my questions about it. But my major question is, Brother Harper, is this. Why did the DOJ put into the public arena a penned letter, handwritten by the attempted assassin? Do you think that was done as an open invitation for some other nut job to come out and try to shoot Trump? Or is it something that let me back up a minute and underpin that question. Back just a few months back when the shooter in, I believe it was Memphis, Tennessee, went into a Christian academy and shot several people. It was a wannabe girl that wanted to be a man, and the letter that was written, the declarations of why it was being done, was kept sequestered. Some of it's leaked out. They didn't want the world to know that it was a transsexual, a transgendered person. Didn't want the world to know that it was a Democrat operative that was doing that. But now with the Trump attempted assassination, tell the world that he offered $150,000 to somebody else to shoot Trump. What are your thoughts? Is this accidental or is this purposeful? Is it possible, and I'm postulating this myself for the listeners to ask the question, is it possible that there's a fast track among the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service, and the DHS to have President Donald J. Trump assassinated?
Let me just be real candid with this. I smell a rat.
Mm-hmm.
that's my honest opinion. They've not proven themselves to be trustworthy in investigations for a long time, and if we don't put our trust in man, I tell you, I just hope we can come to the conclusion that we need to wake up. Christian people, wake up. I just don't believe that a Christian by heart can really vote for anything that that supports murder.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. We need to keep praying, keep looking up. And I'm reminded of the story or the Bible illustration in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, where Jesus put his disciples in the boat. And if Jesus is God, and he is, he knew that the storm was coming. Yet he himself got into the boat. His disciples were in the boat. Jesus went down to the bow of the boat, put his head on a pillow, and went to sleep. And all of a sudden, the winds come, the storm blows, the hurricane force winds with the wind and the rain and the waves, and they thought they were going to die. But listen, and I'll leave you with this thought and challenge our listeners. Jesus was on the boat, and whatever storm we're in, whatever hurricane we're in, political or weather-wise otherwise, whatever storm we're in, if Jesus is on the same boat, we're all right. And I believe that's where we are today. And we need to rest in that assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is the God come into flesh, and that as long as we keep our eyes focused on him, we're in the boat. He's in the boat with us. Thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I'm looking at another headline. This headline is ominous. They're all in on it. They all want him dead. DOJ releases a reward letter from a would-be Trump assassin offering cash to anyone that will finish the job. This article starts out, "I'm sorry I failed you. I tried my best. I gave it all I could muster." This article goes on, and it's talking about the would-be shooter, the second attempted assassination on President Donald J. Trump. And it's got that open handwritten letter. And the letter reads so clearly that there was a desire to murder President Donald J. Trump, and he failed in inviting others to do so. My question is, why is it that the DOJ would be open, ready, and willing to publicize that letter? Is it because, as this headline reads, they're all in on it? They all want him dead. DOJ releases a reward letter from the would-be Trump assassin offering cash to anyone. This article goes on and says, "It's not clear at this point how he knew," speaking of the shooter, the second attempted assassin, "it's not clear how, at this point how he knew that Trump would be playing a round of golf at the same course that Saturday." I've said before, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll say again, how is it that the shooter traveled as he did with supposedly no funds? How is it that he camped out for 12 hours at that fence out of peripheral of the back nine of the golf course where Donald J. Trump would be playing? How did he know it would be the back nine and not the front nine? How did he know that he could park there for 12 hours and finally get the possibility of a shot at Trump and to take his life? Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that the peripheral of that size, 500 yards away, if any weapon, AK-47, AR-15, etc., can fire accurately about 500 yards, why is it that portion was and the peripheral was not covered by the Secret Service? Is it possible that we have a Secret Service, the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, that's in on the potentiality of the assassination of President Donald J. Trump? I'm concerned about that aspect of it. And ladies and gentlemen, though we're just a few days away from the November 5th election, still it'd be January the 21st, I believe, before there'll be a swearing-in ceremony if Trump is elected. That's a long, long time for President Trump to be exposed as he is with the potentiality of taking his life. And ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're saying, well, what will happen? What will take place? Ladies and gentlemen, if that takes place, listen very carefully. If that were to take place, this present garbage administration called the Harris-Biden administration would be in full control. Elections would be called off. Martial law will be declared. And under martial law, keep in mind, the president is the chief honcho, is the commanding general, if you will, over the military. Military would be in full charge and not the political civic leaders. They would be in charge. The whole thing would be placing America in the hands of the Gestapo, if you will, that's now wanting to take office. They could call off elections until a time appointed at their discretion, i.e. they're talking about Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. All guns could very easily be confiscated under martial law. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of travel, freedom, anything that we have today, every freedom would be sequestered and are totally canceled. Now, you might say that sounds radical. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not radical. It is actually factual as to what would take place. We need to, just as in the preparation for the storm, the weather storm, the weather front that's coming in, just as the preparation for that, we need to be preparing. As the thing is that we do for the hurricanes coming, we do the boarding up. We get the sandbags. We get the extra bottles of water. We have a generator in place. We are in position to take cover and to be protected in the event of the hurricane hitting, the storm hitting. We need to do the same thing in a philosophical, theological, biblical, actual fashion in the preparation for this election. We need to plan, pray, and prepare, and we need to be ready to vote, ladies and gentlemen. Look at another headline. Another defendant faces charges for allegedly threatening President Trump's life. There's been another alleged threat against the life of President Donald Trump, who has survived two apparent assassination schemes in just the past few weeks. And the spokesman for his campaign blames it directly on the violent rhetoric of Kamala Harris and other extreme Democrats. A report explains a 64-year-old at Sandpoint, Idaho, allegedly made at least 9 calls to Trump's Florida resident saying that he was going to kill him. The calls came July 31st, just weeks after Trump was shot and injured in the ear in the assassination attempt during his rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. In one call, according to the criminal complaint, the affidavit first reported on Monday that the man threatened to find Trump and said that he was coming down to Bedminster tomorrow, which is the town where Trump's National Golf Club is located in New Jersey. Trump campaign spokesman said the threats were because of the rhetoric from Kamala Harris and her team. In fact, the article reads, Joe Biden, Harris, along with a list of other extremists in the Democratic Party, have for several years described Trump as Hitler. They've insisted that he would be a dictator if ever returned to office. They make wild claims that he would destroy democracy if elected. Such rhetoric is widely considered to be one of the reasons for the sudden spate of threats against and the attacks on Trump's life. Democrats are explicitly advocating for and inciting more bloodshed against the Trump and other Republican supporters of President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an era that we've never lived in before. We're living in an era today, ladies and gentlemen, where there is the threat of the storm. It's hurricane force storm. And listen very carefully. Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 35 and following. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith, that's Jesus, unto them, which are his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm, and wind and the waves beat in the ship, so that it was now full. And he, that is Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship. He's asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. That doesn't mean we sit down. That doesn't mean we wave the white flag of surrender. That simply means that we recognize that we need to pray and plan and prepare, because the storm is on the horizon. Not just the hurricane force winds, but we're talking about the storm that can destroy the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. Headline says, Elon Musk exposes Democrats' agenda for violence against the president, President Donald J. Trump. Just as it has been confirmed, yet another man is charged with threatening the life of President Donald Trump. Tech billionaire Elon Musk has posted on his Twitter social media site a series of video statements from Democrats demanding exactly that. What Elon Musk is saying is the Democratic Party and the Democratic officials, the Democratic bigwigs, are demanding that Trump be taken out. Quote, it serves as a terrifying reminder that the Democrats just want to beat Trump. They want him gone by any means necessary. Hey, we're not the only ones saying it. They are. We can hear it directly from them. Wild claims of Joe Biden about Trump being a threat to democracy. Nancy Pelosi wondering why there aren't uprisings across America. And the threats, they're still going to have to go and put a bullet in Donald Trump, as one Democrat said. and twice failed Democrat White House hopeful Hillary Clinton complaining how dangerous Trump really is, and an official of the White House statement that the threat to Trump should be carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in dangerous days. We're in dangerous time. We're in a dangerous position with the storm on the horizon, and the storm being that which will destroy the constitutional republic we know as America today. That storm, ladies and gentlemen, if it comes and we do not, it's not abated. If when the storm comes and we do not block it with our vote, ladies and gentlemen, we will lose our religious liberties, our freedom of speech. We'll have no walls. We'll have no sovereignty. We'll have no right to keep and bear arms. We'll have no religious liberties and freedom of speech where we can stand as Christians. Christians will be mocked, persecuted, prosecuted, churches closed, Christian organizations will be destroyed. Now you say, well, that's wild and way out and simply philosophical rhetoric. Ladies and gentlemen, it is real. I've studied thousands and thousands of documents and articles in relationship to the crescendo and where we're headed in America today. I'm concerned, and I pray that you're concerned enough to do something. Here's a headline. Trump is now briefed on specific Iran threats to assassinate him and his campaign. Former President Donald J. Trump, who has already survived two assassination attempts, has received a briefing on real and specific threats from Iran to assassinate him. His campaign said on September the 24th in a news release, the Office of Director of National Intelligence briefed the former president on ongoing threats from Iran and its terror regime. Ladies and gentlemen, Iran doesn't want Trump as president. China does not want Trump as president. Russia does not want Trump as president. The cabal in Israel, the Islamic jihadists, do not want President Trump as president again. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have, as it were, the whole demonic global entities that's against President Donald J. Trump. We need to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That is the paraphrased statement, ladies and gentlemen, of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. That's where we are today. That's the need. We need to recognize we're on a ship. And on that ship, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at the winds and the waves that could inundate the ship, and that ship is America, and destroy us. We need to recognize that Jesus Christ is still alive. Jesus Christ is still present. The Lord Jesus Christ can prevail, shall prevail, but we need to turn to Him and embrace what He says that we ought to do. Looking at a headline, Secret Service head says Trump shooting in July was a total, utter failure. They're now admitting it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's in retrospect. We need to recognize the future and what the future holds. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We need to plan, prepare, and pray. And we need to vote, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to save America from the jaws of the socialist, Marxist, communist regime. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more